Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. His holy, holy, holy name. Hallelujah. I want to start out with a quote that I picked up many years ago, and it has stayed with me, and it's truth. Here's the quote. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. I have mentioned this quote before. All right, there's a positive and a negative to this. What we're experiencing in the world is the negative small group of committed people who are out to change the world, and they are an affront to God. They are a disgrace to God, and they wish to disgrace and defame the knowledge of God in the earth. And they wish to disgrace and defame God's children. And they are doing everything they can to reverse all of the righteousness of God, all of his inward laws written on the hearts of men, and all of the other behaviors that would create a peaceful society in which men and women could prosper. And this is a very small committed group. And they wish to take the children of this earth. They wish to take the government of this earth, the economy of this earth, the education of this earth, the arts and media, everything, and distort it and pervert it and remake it into whatever they are imagining. At the same time, there is a small committed group of thoughtful, honest Christians who are about to change the world. That's the positive. That's us. We are going to change the world back. And God is going to change us first, not just a few, but the whole body, which is in desperate need of God to awaken them to righteousness, to awaken them to the need of the hour, and for them to restore their faith and trust in God and their purposes, being led by the Holy Spirit. It's a critical time, but everything is done by prayer. Everything is done by prayer. Every Friday, I meet with a small group of pastors who are committed to each other and to the purpose of revival. And we pray for 2 hours Friday morning from 10 to 12. We pray about revival, that God gives us the themes of our prayers, and we pray them. Just like God has, incidentally, they have received all the prayer cards that we have, and they've agreed with the purposes of those prayers, and some of them are distributing them among their congregations even. So we are on the same page. And then there are certain particular words that God gives us that are essential right now to have God move, and also to recognize the powers that we're dealing with. So last Friday I shared with this group of pastors from what we would call the gift of discerning of spirits from 1 Corinthians 12. We have added the word gift to those manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But when Paul taught, he said, now concerning spirituals or manifestations of the Spirit in us, and he outlined 9 of them. And one of them is the recognition, the revelation, and the understanding of what spirits are at work, whether they be small or large, wherever they happen to be, so that we can be alerted, aware, recognize, and respond to what God reveals to us regarding spirit powers. We need to know the difference between the work of the Holy Spirit and his angels, and the difference between the evil spirit, the principalities and powers that rule in darkness, and work through small demons on the face of the earth. Deliverance ministry is being restored to the church little by little. This church, Andre and I started ministering deliverance in 1974, maybe? to people. And God is saying, this is coming back, because as Jesus taught in Matthew 12, he said, if I cast out spirits by the finger of God, by the Holy Spirit, then you have to know that the kingdom of God has come, because the first place of battle is often between local demon powers and individual people who are harassed and oppressed, sick, all the imaginable things that the enemy wants to do to people. And they can be cast out by the church, by the believing church. So, getting back to the discerning of spirits, in February of this year, God began to reveal to me one of the things that was overarching, one of the spirit powers that was overarching the United States of America. And then he recently added a second one. So there are two that I want to speak to you this morning about that we have to get delivered of. Because to a large extent with some people, a small extent with others, and maybe no extent to some, these principalities, these powers are at work, both in the world and on Christians. So I shared with these brothers Friday morning, and I said, I'd like you to just test this with me. I said, I believe that there are two principalities that have come into the United States and perhaps throughout the world, but these two have been working on the United States of America and with a goal to influence and affect and halt the strength and advance of the kingdom of God through God's children. The first one is the spirit of fear. Through the circumstances of the COVID pandemic and the torturous restrictions, limitations, threats, etc., that began to come to us over 3 years ago, little by little, that spirit has come upon this nation to create in the people of this nation a sensitivity to fear. And fear and threats come through all types of sources. The media is constantly telling us things that create fear, that are fearful thoughts, having to do either with our physical nature, our health, our financial futures, or government issues and problems related to this nation, which right now is like a sieve for evil works, just leaking into this nation right and left. Now, the thing about fear is that it's very subtle. You don't realize its influence slowly affecting how you think until you start to become dominated by it, defensive in your thinking, protective, worrisome, and you begin to fall under its threat, kind of like a veil of threat over us, that we live under that. Paul said, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. He said to Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And he said just in the verse above that, Timothy, I want you to start to stir up in yourself the presence of the Holy Spirit. While I'm here, I want to digress and say this to you. And you're becoming aware and learning more and more that the filling of the Holy Spirit that came when you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that the fullness of the Spirit came into you. You did not receive a little bit of him, that he filled you. You know, one of the simplest illustrations I can think of, and it's not perfect, but maybe it will help you, would be like this. Let's say you're a ship at sea, a sailboat perhaps, Joe, and you're on the waters, and then there's a hole in the hull, and the water starts to seep in until the water fills the ship. That's the filling of the Holy Spirit. All the ship is filled. But when all the ship is filled, it also sinks. And it sinks into the same water, and so the ship is filled with the water, but it is also surrounded by the water. So helping you to understand that when Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will both be in you and with you. There's an indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and a manifest presence around us of the Holy Spirit. The manifest presence will increase and decrease according to our prayers. The indwelling fullness of the Spirit is experienced. He's always filling us. He's always filled us. We experience his fullness as we yield to him. Whether we yield to the flesh or to the Spirit determines the difference as to whether or not we experience his fullness. Galatians 5 tells us again that the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. But thank God, if you let him, Holy Spirit will keep you full and aware of him. He is full in you, but you need to be aware of him. That's how you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. All right, so he was saying to Timothy, Timothy was concerned about Paul, who was his spiritual father. Paul had gone through all kinds of difficulties, and now Timothy was beginning to experience some of those. He said, I don't want you to be afraid. He said, remember the Holy Spirit that came to you with the laying on of hands. And the three things that Paul said to Timothy that that God wants us to learn right now are these. The Holy Spirit brings to us the love of God, the power of God, and the soundness of our minds. Fear affects our minds. It changes our thinking. Fearful thinking creates fearful lives. Protective. We become dominated. Paul said to the Romans in Romans 8, he said, God did not give you a spirit of fear where there is bondage. Bondage. Fear is a bondage. It's like shackles on us. It is torment. But a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Daddy, Father. So these three things about the Spirit to challenge the present fear that's overarching this nation and many Christians, which keeps us cowardice. When you are fearful, you are cowardice. You do not act in courage or boldness because you are intimidated by what you expect from the world as a response against you. You perceive that before you act. Isn't that true? You weigh things out. You measure them. You think of the threat, the opposition, what it might cost you. But when you are filled with the boldness of the Holy Spirit, those things don't matter. Three things. Let's get back to them. The first one that Paul said was love. Holy Spirit, God, is love. The world says, love is God. It's all messed up. We'll deal with that subject another time. But God is love, meaning he has intentions for us that are divine, holy, blessed, encouraging, you name it. And Holy Spirit sheds the love of God, Romans 5:5, in our hearts. That's his work, his first work. To compensate for fear, God is saying, love. Love of God for you will defeat the fears of your mind. If God be for you, who can be against you? And the perfect or complete love of God, 1 John 4:18, casts out, drives out fear. I was thinking about how the Holy Spirit sheds God's love, and I'm reminded of how I butter my muffins in the morning. I want to make sure that the butter covers all the edges. You know what I'm saying? If I find a little cranny that doesn't have any butter in it, more until the whole thing is saturated. It's dripping with butter. In fact, it drips so much that the paper plate I put it on gets messy, and my hands are dripping with it. That's what Holy Spirit wants to do in you. Shed the love of God in you like that. So tomorrow morning, when you're buttering your toast or your muffins or whatever, realize Holy Spirit wants to do that. Second, power. And the word that Paul used here is dunamis, which is supernatural power. It's greater than anything in the world. God who created, we heard this word both from Joe, and it came during our prayer time as well this morning, about God's power creating everything. That power is resident in us. Ha! If we don't exercise it, if we don't believe in it, it will lie dormant in us. Holy Spirit wants to make us courageous. Courageous. The church has been timid. It is avoiding. Hear me clearly. It is avoiding. I'm not talking just to you. I'm talking about national leaders, even big churches. It is intimidated by a small group of committed people who are essentially pagans, who hate God, who wish to rule the world, and the church has become intimidated by them. The world has become intimidated by them, so much so that large corporations will lose billions of dollars just to appease them. You know what I'm talking about? You talk about the power of a threat? That's amazing. The world has lost its mind. We have the power of God. I tell you what, every time Andre and I have ever cast out a demon, we have said, in your face, Satan, you have been bound, and we cast out your little people, your little spirit people who control and bring bondage upon others. No way. This church was birthed in that. I don't know if you know that. Many of you were not around then. A few of us were here when that ministry was so prevalent in the 70s. And God is bringing it back again because people need deliverance. Third thing, a sound mind is a self-controlled mind. It sounds almost like you get to take the power and authority over your mind. No, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you have a sound mind where your thoughts are not running all over, interruptive, threatening, but kind of like showing up at the wrong time to change how you think and how you behave, creating fear again. Holy Spirit can help your mind. I'm going to pray for you right now. We're going to deal with the other spirit that God has shown that's working over this nation. But you, here today, some of you need deliverance of the spirit that has harassed your mind, because the principalities of fear use the demonic powers, spirits, to speak to you and threaten you. And some have allowed them to come in and take dominion. Do you want to be free and have your mind back, have your power back, and to know the love of God? Holy Spirit wishes with all of God's intentions that you know that, experience that. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Any and all of you here today that are struggling with fear, threats of the future, of your life, your health, your children's, your grandchildren, your job, your finances, everything. What is happening to this nation? I want you to know something. A nation can be saved in a day. God is able to turn everything around. That's not the first thing. The first thing that God wants to do is turn you around. Turn the church around. Free the church. Heal the church. Deliver the church. And empower the church. All right. Father, thank you that Jesus has shown the way that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have authority over the strong man whose house has been bound to cast out and free people from spirits of fear. And these, your children here today, shall be set free from every spirit of fear that harasses and causes dominance in their lives to the point of controlling and intimidating them about their present and their future. And in Jesus' name, now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be released from every spirit of fear now, in Jesus' name. Loose these people. Set their minds completely free from all fear, threats, intimidation, worry, dread, feeling helpless, hopeless, worrying. In Jesus' name, I command these spirits to leave you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I see people yawning all over here. Let it go. You're going to continue to get deliverance because the Holy Spirit's going to stay on this subject with you even if you leave here today to clear you up, clean you out. Now, the pastors that I was referring to when we were together, they bore witness to this, that a spirit of fear has come over the whole church. They see it in their congregations. They recognize it nationally. When the enemy is warring against the saints, for us to go on about our business as if everything is okay, is an act of cowardice and a diversion from staying the course with God. And we are seeing the church not pay attention to what is going on in them and in the world. And we're praying for an awakening of the whole body of Christ. Like one of the prayers that we pray is God wants us to rise, to waken up again, that the glory of the Lord would rise upon us. And these men, I'm telling you, they agreed, they know this. So we're praying. It doesn't take a whole lot of people. Like I just read that quote to you. What if nobody else in the body of Christ was praying but you? Would God hear your prayer? Would he hear us? Would he hear us right now? He would. Because here's the reason why. Prayer is not getting God to agree with us. Prayer is getting us to agree with God. And when he gets us to praying, it's because he wants us to know his will. His will is to revive the church and to raise it back up to its glory because the church represents Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. And we live to the praise of his glory. That prophetic word that Joe shared has that truth in it. All right, let's go to the second word that God showed me, discerned, revealed. What is taking place? It is that there is a spirit of fatigue. Fatigue that has settled upon the church. Exhaustion, weariness, tiredness. Why and how did this happen? Because of the constant assaults. And your energies are directed in this place and then in that place and then in this place and in that place. And the enemy wants us to do everything but the will of God. Isaiah 40, let's turn there. How many of you sense that you have been more fatigued and tired? Yeah. The pastors that I've talked to says their congregations are exhausted. And you can't keep stimulating people to get them to act because after a while you reach the law of diminishing returns. People say, I'm too tired. I'm just too tired. I can't make that meeting. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm worn out. I just want to lay down. I want to sit in front of the television, veg out. And that happens to us. Isaiah 40 says this. Let's begin in verse. Do you have the scripture up there, brother? Yeah, what is it we have up there? Isaiah 18, 28. Hallelujah. Has thou not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint, never is weary, and there is no understanding or fully searching out all of him? Verse 29, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail and fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Holy Spirit is the power of your life. But before we delve into that much, let me help you understand waiting on God. There are so many elements of understanding the indwelling presence of God. The word here in the Hebrew to wait is an interesting word. It's like taking a couple of cords and twisting them together, binding them so that they become one. A three-cord strand is not easily broken. The twisting together of you and God, the merging of your life in with his life, the exchange of your weakness for his strength. This is what it's talking about. And do we need strength for today? Absolutely. We need power for life. But spirits of exhaustion and fatigue, weariness, tiredness, dreary feelings have come upon many people. And right now, we are going to set you free of that. I can feel it coming right now. Just settle in the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. Bow your heads. That weariness, that fatigue, that exhaustion, both mental and physical, that makes you want to give up or quit. It causes you to say, I can't do it, I can't go on, or whatever. All of that, right now in Jesus' name. All those effects upon you in the name of Jesus, I command them to leave. I command every small demon power that has entered into you to exhaust you so that you wake up tired, you go to bed tired, you're tired throughout the day, all that weariness on you, in Jesus' name, leave. Leave, leave, leave. I see it going. I see it. I see you manifesting it completely out of you. Completely out of you. Complete. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to speak to that in just a minute. Yeah, that's good. Hallelujah. All the way out. Now may the power of God and the Holy Spirit present within you take the place of that fatigue and exhaustion and be your strength for daily living. Amen. Some of us have never known anything close to supernatural power. Some of us have never experienced moments of renewal, of great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. But God, excuse me, brings those seasons, those times of refreshing to the church because he knows we need it. They're reviving times, and they are extraordinary. I was thinking about Elijah, who when he prayed initially, he stopped up the heavens and he didn't, and there wasn't any rain for 3.5 years. And then he had this encounter with Ahab and Jezebel. And after he defeated the prophets of Baal, called down fire from heaven, etc., it was time to bring rain back into the nation. And in 1 Kings 18, we have the picture of Elijah praying. It says that he did this. It says in 1 Kings 18 that Elijah did this. He put his head between his knees and he started to pray. Now, that's a picture of a woman birthing. It's a picture that prayer births God's purposes in the earth. Do you follow that? I mean, he could have prayed standing up or on his knees, but he did it like this. And he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. There was no sound that anybody else heard. It was in his spirit. And he said to his servant, I want you to go look and see if there's any clouds coming. So the servant went, looked, came back, nothing. He said, go again. 6 times the servant went and came back and said, isn't anything happening? But Elijah knew in his spirit, come on, like you, that if God causes you to pray, you're going to be birthing the purposes of God here in the earth. And 6 is the number of man, the number of failure, the number of the fatigue of humans, of the works of man. And Elijah said, go one more time. 7, spiritual perfection. There's something perfect that's going to come when we pray. And the servant came running back and he said, I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. And before long, thunder, clouds, darkness, rain started to pour. And the Holy Spirit power was so strong on Elijah, he told Ahab, better get going. You need to get in your chariot and go to Jezreel. And Elijah girded up his loins, pulled up his long robe, wrapped it around himself, and ran faster than the horses and got to Jezreel first. That's supernatural power that happens in the presence of God. I've seen it before. We're going to see it again. We need to see that because it startles people. Signs, wonders, and miracles will come back into the earth to startle the unbeliever. It has to happen. It's happened in the past. It'll happen again. Because God wants it to happen. It doesn't last for a long time because it's kind of like you can't run a motor at full speed forever. Eventually it conks out. I think I'm right. And you can't run humans under the energy of the Holy Spirit forever because they would run out too. Just can't do it. But I'm going to read to you just a short account from the Welsh Revival. What happens to people? Wait a minute. Before I go there, the Lord is telling me this. This is really something that's concerning me. We are told in Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, not to quench the Spirit. Every move of God has had people that are either resistant to the Holy Spirit or afraid of the Holy Spirit. And the consequence is that they resist and quench the presence of the Spirit in them, and they influence the surroundings. We don't want anybody, afraid of Holy Spirit, because that's God. We don't. B, because God wants to reveal himself mighty to you and to others. I'm going to pray right now. If anybody here has a resistance to the supernatural, to the fear that things would be out of control, I'm tell you what, when God comes, he's in control. So there's no such thing as out of control. He just controls things differently. You follow what I'm saying? When God comes, he's in control. Don't worry about it. Let everything be done decently in order. It's like we don't control the work of the Holy Spirit. He controls us. So in Jesus' name, any people afraid, resistant to Holy Spirit manifestations, in Jesus' name, God, set these people free. Because this is how God moves. This is how he acts. There was, during the Welsh Revival, I can't tell you all the things that happened in these revivals because there's way too many. But just for example, this is a report of one of the young men who said, whose name was Merthyn Lewis. He said his father was a coal miner in the Rhondda Valley of Wales. He worked from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. One day after arriving home in the afternoon, he took a bath to wash off the coal dust, put on his Sunday clothes, and said, "Come, Mother, we're going to church." Off they went with the children in tow. When they arrived at the church around 4 p.m., the meeting was well underway and the building was full. Around 7 p.m., Evan Roberts paid an unannounced visit. The building was so crowded that he couldn't get in, and finally the men hoisted him up on their shoulders and passed him along until he reached the pulpit. Got that picture? When Roberts reached the pulpit, he said one word in Welsh and three words in English. He said, "Let us pray." That was the last thing anyone heard him say, because all 2,000 people in the church began praying aloud. Each was praying in his or her own prayer, but the result was harmony, not confusion. We had that in our prayer meeting this morning, did we not? Praying aloud together is not confusion. The groups that pastors that I meet, we pray aloud, out loud, in tongues, shouting and declaring and prophesying, and then in English and shouting and declaring. It's part of our nature. It's okay to pray in silence. But I tell you what, I shout when I'm alone. I do. I come out here, I leave my office, I come out here and raise heaven. Around 10 p.m., Evan Roberts put on his hat and coat and left the meeting. The family with whom he stayed said he stayed up all night praying. At 2 a.m., Mr. Lewis turned to his wife and said, "Come, Mother, we must go home." Now, he'd been there from 4 o'clock to 2 a.m. with his kids. They arrived at home 3 a.m. Mr. Lewis slept in his clothes in a rocking chair. At 6 a.m., he changed into his work clothes. At 3 p.m., he arrived home. He went to work. At 3 p.m., he came home, bathed, dressed, and said, "Come, Mother, we're going to the meeting." They returned to the church around 4 p.m., and the same meeting was still going on. Times like this happen. They are supernatural. People get endued with power. They are able to go for seasons with little to no sleep because of the presence of God that is surrounding them. This is just one of multitudes of examples. Am I saying this will happen? I don't know that this will happen, but I'm telling you that when the supernatural begins to happen, don't resist it. At one time, in one of the meetings with Evan Roberts, he felt the resistance that was coming out of the congregation. And he stopped and he said, "There's somebody out here who is resisting the Holy Spirit." He said, "And I rebuke you." It was a psychic who had come into the meeting to disturb it. God is going to reveal people who want to resist his move. He doesn't want it to stop. It's for a blessing and not for harm. So if we can trust God, if we can trust God, if we can say, "Come, Holy Spirit, any way you want," then God will come any way he wants. You have to be prepared for him to be who he is. Whatever you want, God. Make us laugh, make us cry, make us dance, make us repent, make us cry out to you, make us sing. Whatever, when you come, refresh us with your presence, because all of it is refreshing. All of it is love of God for us, delivering and healing, restoring, renewing. He loves his church. He loves his people. He loves us. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. His terror is going to be shown against an ungodly people, but it's not going to be shown to you. His love is going to be shown to you. His healing and deliverance, his miracle power, his recovery, his renewing. He's going to set many of us back up on our feet again, cause us to stand up in courage. We prayed this morning, one of our sisters prayed that we should be sharing the word of God everywhere to everyone that we can. When God makes it available to us, we are not going to miss our opportunities. We are going to fulfill them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fear is gone. Exhaustion and fatigue, The strength of God instead is filling his people. Even today, more and more. Breathe in the presence of the Holy Spirit's strength. Let him just flood your lungs, your soul, your mind, everything about you today. Stay refreshed, stay renewed, stay in the power of the Holy Spirit. Drive out every evil thought by his presence. When they come knocking at your door, resist them. For God has given you a sound mind. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name this morning. We praise you, O Lord, God of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. We do not live under the canopy of fear or the feelings of exhaustion and fatigue, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have sound minds. We know the love of God, and we have strength and courage for our lives. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to drum it up. We just yield to Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. We bless you. Honor you. Hallelujah. We honor you today. We thank you for this. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, now before we take our leave here, whether you allow us to go or not, we pray for the whole church that the things that we have experienced, that we're coming to understand, we pray and intercede for our brothers and sisters, leaders and everybody, everybody, every congregation, every denomination right now that is experiencing levels of fear and exhaustion. In Jesus' name, we intercede for them right now that what you're doing for us, you will do for them. Send Holy Spirit to them. Give them understanding of these things. Set them free. Raise your leaders up to new courage and boldness. Because without strength and leadership, there's sometimes very little left in the body. Give leaders new hope. Strengthen them. Deliver them of fear and intimidation of the world around them. Let them speak and encourage the people with whom they live and move with. God, we want that. Raise up within the congregation strong men and women who, wherever they go, are able to speak the word of God with power, with truth, with love. Restore people who have drifted away from the body of Christ. They are easy targets for the enemy. They are being, right now, assaulted more than they should be. They think they're okay, and they aren't. Lord, deliver them back into the fold, into the body. They need that, God. They need the security of the body of Christ, the manifest presence of God. Hallelujah. Bless you, saints.